Unleavened Bread Ministries presents Hidden Manna for the End Time with your host, David Eales.
Hello, friends. This is David Eales. God bless you and thank you for joining us. We have some very important revelations to share with you that were shared with me over the last 30-something years, sometimes in word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are very, I'll say, untraditional, but you should expect that in these days. The traditions of men have been making of no effect the Word of God. And these revelations will help you to cooperate with God in the time to come in manifesting His Son in you and in understanding the things that are going on around you and the great purpose that God has for these end times. May God give you eyes to see and ears to hear, so that these will be a great blessing unto you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You may hear some things here that are not fitting with your traditions. God bless you.
Part 2, The Church and Tribulation.
The Great Tribulation is most generally agreed upon that it's the second 3.5 years of the tribulation. And that's also the time when the saints are being made war on by the beast. It's also the time in the tribulation when it particularly talks about the death of the saints. Great tribulation. How many of you know tribulation, the word, is talking about the saints? It's not talking about the lost. God's not trying the lost. He's trying His saints. He's tribulating His saints. He's bringing them through a trial in their wilderness. Okay? So the tribulation is for the saints, and it says to make their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. These people would never be resurrected if there was a pre-tribulation rapture. They would never be resurrected. They would have to stay in the grave, because we know there's only one resurrection, and it has to be at the end. And if it was at the beginning, these people would never be resurrected. So that's false, totally false. And Jesus agrees with me. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Are y'all turning? Get used to turning in your Bible. You'll find it. You'll get so proficient at it that you won't even have to look. You just thumb through it and it'll stop at the right place. Have you ever noticed that? Verse 39. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that of all that which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Ah, awesome. God is going to raise up His people at the last day. Remember that last day. I've got some things to share with you that the Lord shared with me about this last day. It's a very peculiar last day. But Jesus did say He would not raise them up until the last day. And verse 40, for this is the will of My Father, that everyone that beholdeth the Son and believeth on Him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. So Jesus agrees that the rapture and the resurrection have to happen at the last day in order that all be included. And I'll tell you, somebody else agrees. Go to Job chapter 14. Job agrees. Job 14 and verse 12. Are you following me so far? All right. Job 14 and verse 12. And Job says, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be roused out of their sleep, till the heavens be no more. Now obviously, if the heavens passed away, it couldn't be 7 years before the last day, right? Because if it did, there wouldn't be a tribulation period.
You'd have a hard time having a trial of any kind when there's no heavens, right? So that's what Job said. And Peter agreed with him. 2 Peter chapter 3. Again, we're going to talk about this day. We'll see this day here. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. No resurrection, Job said, until the heavens be no more. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord, remember that term, it's used all through the Bible. Sometimes it's the day of the wrath of the Lord or the wrath of God, but the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Now, of course, he's warning people to be ready for that day. But what's the warning, of course, if you're going to be leaving 7 years before that day? What's the worry? You know what I mean? In fact, what's the worry about any of the warnings of the Scriptures, you know, about those days? If it's not going to come nigh you, then there's Peter's warning here would be useless, right? Look at Matthew 24 and verse 36. I want to tell you when that day is, okay? You say, well, David, the Bible says, no man knoweth, right? But did you ever notice that knoweth is present tense? It's not future tense. Okay. Verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away. There it is again. But my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. No one knoweth. Now that doesn't say that we never will know. It just says no man knoweth. It was present tense. It was meant for those people. Even the Son did not know. Would you agree with me that there will be a time, or maybe is a time, that the Son does know? Okay. Well, the same is true for us, because we've been given a sign, and Jesus gives us one here in this text. In verse 37, and as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So we can figure from the days of Noah when the coming of the Son of Man will be. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two men be in the field, one taken and one left. And two women shall be grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. And obviously those two men are Christ and Antichrist, wouldn't you agree? And the two women, probably the bride and the harlot, right? Seems to make sense. Well, Noah's days, people misidentify Noah's days. Let's look at Noah's days, because Noah's days tell us exactly when the Lord's coming. Genesis chapter 7. And there was a time when Noah didn't know when the Lord was coming. There was a time, okay? But then the Lord gave him a sign. And he knew when the Lord was coming for him, right? Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4. For yet 7 days. Now, people generally like to identify the 120 years in chapter 6 and verse 3. But that's years. This is talking about days. And the Lord said, as were the days of Noah. Now there's a lot of truth in what they say about the 120 years, because if you just happen to make that 120 jubilee years, that comes up to 6,000, doesn't it? And that's pretty neat. So we're getting close, right? But that doesn't get you close enough. That still doesn't help you to know, because we do know also from the Scriptures that it's on the morning of the third day, from Christ's time. You know, in the Bible, there's prophetic days. There's 7 prophetic days from Adam's time and 3 prophetic days from Jesus' time. They always number from Adam and Jesus because Jesus is Adam, right? He's the Adam of the new creation man. He's the Adam of the born again creation, right? And he started the true church, the beginning. So verse 4 says, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground." Noah knew in 7 days the flood was going to come. And of course, Noah was in his ark, right? He knew when his ark was going. He didn't know 8 days before, but he knew 7 days before. And that's the way it's going to be with us. Those 7 days represent the 7 days of the 70th week of Daniel, Daniel 9 and 27. And we know that those are 7 days that are years, because the first 69 weeks were weeks of years, and they came out to the time of the coming of the Messiah. The Jews should have understood who Jesus was, because he was the only one on the scene fulfilling the Scripture at the time the Scripture said he would be there. And yet they weren't reading their Bible like a lot of Christians. But at any rate, Noah knew 7 days before the flood. And he knew when the Lord was going to come. Verse 10, we also are going to know 7 days before when the Lord's going to come. Verse 10, and it came to pass after the 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. After the 7 days, the flood came. 7 days that represent 7 years. Okay? Now I want to show you another year in the Bible that's generally neglected and not understood. But if you don't see this other year, this eighth year, then what you read in the book of Revelation will be very confusing, because most people try to jam 8 years into 7 years, and it's very confusing. There's 8 years before the beginning of the rest of the millennium. Okay, we've already started this millennium, haven't we? And by the way, you know, a lot of people thought that God was going to do all this and it would all be over before the end of the sixth day, because God finished His creation on the sixth day. But He didn't finish His creation on the sixth day. The Bible says in Genesis 2 and 2 that He finished it on the morning of the seventh day. See? So that's where we are now. He's going to finish His work on the morning of the seventh day. All right? So once again, we have this testimony. After 7 days, the flood came. Okay, let's look at this day that follows the seventh day. Verse 11. In the 600th year, there's that 600 again. You know, God uses abbreviations in the Bible. You know, it's like the 66 on the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 3. 66 instead of 666. He uses those all through the Scriptures. Actually, there's 3 sixes there, but I won't have time to go into that. In the 600th year of Noah's life, it was 600,000 Egyptians that left Egypt, which was a type of the world. They left Egypt. And here's Noah, 600, another identification of the same time, you see. Hebrews that left Egypt. Excuse me, thank you. But it tells you the timing. In the second month, in the 17th day of the month, on the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, if you go down to verse chapter 8 and verse 14, it tells you the same month. And in the second month, this is a year later, when he's 601 now. And the second month, on the 20th day of the month. So he's talking about 10 days beyond a year. Okay, that makes a year that's following 7 years. 7 days that are 7 years, and a year that follows. This is a year that obviously Noah is not taking part in, other than the wicked are underneath his feet. You understand? The Bible says in Malachi that you shall go forth and tread upon the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. We're not talking about a flood of water this time. We're talking about a flood of destruction and fire. The earth has been reserved for a day of burning, the Bible says in 2 Peter. So here is a year that the wicked are being destroyed. It's called the Day of Wrath, or the Day of the Lord. You know, the previous seven were 7 days that were years, okay? And now we're talking about another day that's the Day of the Lord. As were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. The Son of Man came after the seven, but he took Noah, and Noah wasn't involved in this year other than, like I said, they were under his feet. Now let me prove that to you. Isaiah 34 and verse 8. This is the difference between the wrath of God and the tribulation of God. Okay? You've heard people quote, especially the pre-tribulation folks, they like to quote that we were not appointed under wrath, and the Bible says that, doesn't it? Isaiah 34 and verse 8. Isaiah 34 and verse 8. For the Lord hath a day of vengeance. This day is a year. He hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. This is the year of wrath upon the wicked. This is the destruction of the Lord against the wicked. Okay? And matter of fact, if he describes this year of wrath, go back to verse 2. It says, For the Lord hath indignation against all the nations, and wrath against all their host. And he hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. This is that year of wrath. Noah's not taking place in this, right? Taking part in this. Verse 4. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. There it is, the heavens being destroyed. And this happens in this year. Okay? Let me give you another confirmation on that. Isaiah 63 and verse 4. Now remember what the Lord said. He said, I will raise him up at the last day. This is the day he's talking about. Okay? And this day is a year. But it is also a year after the 7 years. You following me so far? Okay, verse 4. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. See, the day of vengeance is also the year of his redeemed, because Noah found full redemption at that time. Noah and all that he includes, all that he types, found full redemption at that time. Go back to verse 1 in this Isaiah 63. It says, Who is this that cometh forth from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? Do you know that not everybody is going to be in the ark? Not everybody that calls themselves Christians are going to be in the ark. It says here that the Lord is coming from Edom with his garments stained. This is the wrath of God. You know what Edom represents, huh? Edom was the name given to Esau. And Esau represents those who sold their birthright. Hebrews tells us that for one mess of meat, he sold his birthright. And I take that to mean that because of following after the flesh, he lost what was given to him. See, Esau had the birthright, like we all have the birthright, okay? But some are selling their birthright because they walk after the flesh. The Bible says if you walk after the flesh, you must die, right? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live, right? And so the Lord is judging Edom here, Edomites. And as a matter of fact, it goes on to say, from Bozrah. Bozrah means sheepfold. See, there's still going to be a church here after Noah leaves. It's just not the one that counts, the sheepfold. That is glorious in his apparel, marching in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine vat. I have trodden the winepress alone. This is the winepress of the wrath of God in Revelation 14. And of the peoples, there was no man with me. Yea, I trod them in mine anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their lifeblood is sprinkled upon my garments. You remember Revelation 19 and 13? When the Lord shows up on the white horse, what's his garment stained with? Blood. Because that's the flood that he's talking about there. And in the flood, it says he destroys the flesh of mighty men and captains and rich and poor and bond and free. It's talking about a flood. What happened with the flood? God said, I'm going to destroy all flesh. And it mentions them there in Revelation 19. The Lord is going forth to destroy them. And among them are the apostate people of God, the harlot. Those that haven't repented and washed their robes white with the blood of the Lamb. Look with me in chapter 26 before we get out of Isaiah, because there's a really good proof point there. Isaiah 26. I'm sure you're somewhat up on Revelation, but he tells you the story of Revelation here from 16 on down. He said, the Lord in trouble have they visited thee. You know, that's Jacob's trouble, right? The tribulation. In trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Isn't it interesting that we've got to go through trouble before we are really motivated to turn to God and put Him first. In fact, earlier in the chapter, he says in verse 9, he says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee earnestly. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness he will deal wrongfully and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. So basically, we're really not motivated to overcome this flesh until we go through troubles or tribulations. And of course, it doesn't have to be the tribulation. We're going through them all the time, aren't we? And they do motivate us to holiness, don't they? Well, verse 17 of that chapter, it says, like as a woman with child. You remember the woman with child in the book of Revelation chapter 12? The woman that brought forth the man child. And the woman went into the wilderness, which is described as the tribulation period. And that woman is the church. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out in her pangs. So we have been before thee, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind or spirit. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. And then he says, thy dead shall live. My dead bodies shall arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast forth the dead. There's the resurrection and the rapture. But notice the next verse. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. This is the ark, right? Whatever it means today, this is the ark. And hide thyself for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. This is the wrath of God being poured out. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now let me give you some more proof of this in the New Testament. Matthew, and we can see a few things along the way. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. We'll see the difference between tribulation and wrath. Okay? Of course, the pre-tribulationists want to make the wrath the tribulation period because they know we're supposed to escape the wrath, right? But the truth is, not everybody's going to escape the wrath. As we've seen, the apostates are not going to escape it. They didn't escape it in Jesus' day. You know, Jesus' day is a very much a type of our day. And if you remember in 70 AD, those apostate covenant people, old covenant people, were destroyed by the beast in 70 AD. They didn't flee to the mountains like the disciples did. They were destroyed by the beast. And that's very much a part of the day of wrath. Okay, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, nor ever shall be. That's great tribulation. And that's tribulation upon the saints. Okay, God's not worried about trying the wicked. He's trying the saints. If you remember when God called his son out of Egypt, he called his son and sent his son into the wilderness, and that was Israel. He sent them into the wilderness. And the woman in Revelation chapter 12 was called and sent into the wilderness. She didn't become the woman in the wilderness, like a lot of people are saying. She was the woman before she went into the wilderness. See, a lot of people are saying, oh, those people were just born again in the tribulation. Oh, no, they went into the tribulation. That's what the Bible says. And that's what happened according to type with Israel. They went into the tribulation. So here we have great tribulation. And verse 29 tells you, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, again, those days being the great tribulation, the second 3.5 years, okay? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So, notice this. After the tribulation, after 7 years of tribulation, then comes the sun darkening and the moon darkening. And that's a sign that you can find in quite a few places in the Bible. It's a timing, a sign of timing that you can find, okay? Remember that. After the 7 years, the sun's darkened. And at that time, the Lord sends forth his angels to gather his elect. Where does he gather them from? He gathers them from one end of heaven to the other. Okay? Now, that could confuse you, but if you look in Mark chapter 13 and verse 27, it says in the same verse, makes a slight change. It says from the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. Here it says from one end of heaven to the other, and there it's from the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. Why is that? Well, the truth is, heaven doesn't have any ends except this way, you see. We enter into the kingdom of heaven here. If you don't enter here, you don't get to enter, do you? And the Bible says, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And he also said the kingdom of heaven is among you. So the kingdom of heaven starts here. And it goes to the uttermost parts. It's like a mountain in the Bible. Remember the stone that came out of the mountain, which was the kingdom of God, by the way, that smote the image in the feet and destroyed the whole beast system? Well, that's the way this is. If it's from the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven, then we're talking about the living and the dead. Right? And so the Lord is gathering through the rapture and the resurrection his people after the sun and the moon are darkened.
This series by David Eales will be continued on our next broadcast. Thank you for tuning in. For more information and materials, go to www.americaslastdays.com.